Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Happy Easter, friends. We continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on this Easter day. This whole week is considered a single day of celebration, initiating 50 days of celebration about the greatest event of human history and the foundation of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining me here now for a time of prayer and delving into the word of life, the word of Scripture. You can leave your prayer intentions, Easter intentions, in the comments as much as you like. Let's put ourselves in God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the new life that you give us in Christ. As we celebrate the resurrection, may we accept and live this new relationship we have with you. May it burn away our sins. May it ignite our zeal to spread the gospel. May it strengthen our efforts to build a culture of life and to rid the world of violence, starting with the violence of abortion. Bless our efforts, Lord, and increase our joy. We pray through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. Our reading is from the Gospel according to John. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to them, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. Why on Easter, both here when Jesus appeared to Mary in the morning and then in the afternoon when he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, did these people not recognize Jesus at first? Here's a human body that had gone through crucifixion, death, burial, and then resurrection. It's got to look a little bit different, it would stand to reason. Secondly, you're not in any way, shape, or form expecting it, right? But when you know that someone has died, you just don't expect to see them. But third, perhaps the more central reason, Jesus himself wants us to understand that his resurrection is all about. It's not just a marvelous event. First of all, it's a physical event. It happened. There's all kinds of witness and evidence to it. But it's about a relationship now that we're called to have with God and with one another. It's about a new humanity that blossoms forth based on the fact that we share a life. It's human life and it's supernatural life that is now beyond the power of death to touch or destroy. Notice when Mary does recognize him. He speaks her name. See what I'm saying? The resurrection establishes relationship. Mary, in other words, I'm here for you. This victory I'm sharing with you. This new humanity is created by the resurrection. You're part of it. Come in now to this newness of life. This is about a relationship with me. It's not just about some kind of theoretical or historical thing. Oh, wow, isn't that fascinating? Jesus rose from the dead. Wow. This is not a day where we just say, wow. This is a day when we hear our name spoken. Mary. Same thing with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When did they recognize him? When they were sharing a meal together and he gave them his body, he gave them the Eucharist, relationship. He imparted to them the life that makes them part of the new humanity, the new community. Then they recognized him. How are we recognizing the risen Lord? Is the resurrection a historical event that we believe in only? Because it is an historical event. It happened, it was physical, and we believe it. That's just the beginning. That's the foundation. What's supposed to happen with that? A relationship with the risen Lord. We need to be celebrating Easter, hearing our name and speaking his name in that dialogue of faith. Jesus, I know you're here. You're with me. The first reading, I didn't read it to you, from the Acts of the Apostles on the proclamation of the resurrection. At Pentecost, Peter is saying, all this happened by the plan of God. He was crucified, he's risen. And then the crowd is awakened to this. Their consciences are stung. And they ask a key question. What are we to do? What are we to do? There are two Easter questions here, friends. That's one of them. It was asked at Pentecost, but it's an Easter question. What are we to do? And Peter said, you got to enter into a relationship with Christ, and the first thing you have to do in order to make that happen is repent. That's why the baptism that by which we share in the risen life of Christ begins with what? A renunciation of sin. When you renew the vows of your baptism, as you may have experienced, if you went to Mass on Easter, you had the questions asked you to renew the vows of your baptism. And the first one, do you renounce sin and Satan? Repent, Peter said. Repent and be baptized. Why? Because Easter is about you being ushered in to this relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, you're going to recognize him, all right, because he's going to speak your name. Mary, John, Jim, Sue, I baptize you. I bring you in to my victory over death. What's the other Easter question? Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Jesus asks Mary why she's weeping. The angels, witnesses to the resurrection, ask, why are you weeping? In a sense, isn't that a silly question? Jesus was crucified. Our friend, our master, our Lord, our teacher, our miracle worker, the one in whom we put our hopes, those disciples walking on the road to Emmaus that afternoon, we were hoping that he would be the one. We were hoping. Disappointment, profound disappointment. Of course they're weeping. Why are you weeping? Now it's an Easter question. Implied in the question, you don't have any cause to weep anymore. Because now this new humanity that has begun, this new explosion of the victory of life that is embracing the world, the web, Isaiah 25 says, death is the web woven over all nations, the veil that veils all peoples. And he said, God said through him, I will destroy death forever. That's full of promises fulfilled today. Now a new reality envelops the earth. The reality of the victory of life. So why are you weeping? This enveloping of the new victory of life leads to what the book of Revelation says. You go to the very end of the Bible, what does it say? There will be no more death, no more weeping. Why are you weeping? The new chapter has begun. The new humanity is here. The cause of weeping has been taken away. Yes, we still suffer. But we still suffer because the process is still unfolding by which this victory that has been won seeps into everything and is applied to everything. That's still in process, obviously. We still suffer, we still weep, we still die. But none of it leads to a dead end anymore. None of it leads anymore to the ultimate victory of death. No, it's the ultimate victory of life. Why are you weeping? Any sadness that you do have, any loss you do experience, any desolation that you do have to walk through, this is the day to bring it to the risen Lord and allow Him to transform that suffering. Allow Him to lift you up and recognize that now you're part of a whole new humanity. The whole reality has changed. Why are you weeping? Death has been conquered. Sin has been conquered. The new humanity has been begun. The victory of life has been won. We are reconciled with God. Nothing can separate us from Him. Let us rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. Lord, we take this new life once again at your hands, and we welcome it. We renounce sin. We believe in you. We will live your new life. Let the weeping be a thing of the past. Let rejoicing be our very breath. Let our proclamation ever give witness to the victory of life. And let our joy increase each day, Lord God, until the its ultimate blossoming in eternity. Lord, as we rejoice in this new life, answer all our prayers. Meet our needs. Console the sorrows we do encounter in this life. Enlighten the doubt and help us make the decisions we need to make. And bring us all deeper into unity with the risen Christ, in whose words we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Happy Easter, friends. Let's continue the celebration, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.